And today I just want to share with you Jesus according to John. In the books of the four Gospels, as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they refer to Jesus as the King, the Servant, the Son of Man. But John has a stark difference and a stark assessment of who Jesus is. And I guess if you could sum up the whole book of John in a short synopsis of who John says Jesus is, you'll find that in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And I challenge you to highlight it in your Bible. And I want to share just that with you this morning. And I'm amazed by this verse, the way John starts out in verse 30. He said, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The key word is to believe. And we're going to talk a whole lot about believing. But I love what John writes here, that there's many other signs and wonders done that ain't even recorded that the disciples saw. But these are written that you may believe that he is Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And I've been saying this for weeks, and I want to keep reiterating this to you, that you can have life now. Jesus came for you to have life now, to experience life now, to have hope now, to have peace now, to have joy now. And that takes us being willing to surrender. And I love what Billy Graham says. He said he just wants us to surrender ourselves and move away from our sin. That's what a life of surrender is. That's what a life of believing is. You can't say, "I believe," and still go down a path and the highway to hell. You may go through some hell, but you don't have to go down the highway of hell anymore. And I know what it is to go down that highway, because I used to go down that highway and mash on the skinny pedal. And I'm not proud of them days, but I'll never forget the day when I gave my life to Jesus. I was 27 years old. I didn't need a message. All I needed was Jesus. And too many times in the evangelical Christian community, we get so wrapped up in, we need Jesus when we come to church, or else we wouldn't be here, because the only reason we are here is to celebrate. Today we're celebrating the life and the resurrection of Jesus. And we can have, and you can have, a resurrected life in Jesus today. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the storms you're dealing with in your life, but I want you to know there's a resurrection in your storm. There's a time that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords looks at your life and your situation and says, "Peace be still." Your situation may not change for a little while, but in the midst of the storm, you can find peace and stillness because you're trusting in, resting in, and believing in Jesus.
I'm going to mention greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the
world. John chapter 1 to the passage.
John chapter
21. To me, this passage right here is the entire
theme. I love what
John says,
book of John,
in the beginning. And I want to look a little deeper. We're going to start
with John.
In verse 1, he said, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man
came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. And again, this morning, I can't express to you enough how important it is that you believe today. He said in verse 8, he said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to everyone, every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Here's what I want you to understand, that the blood that Jesus shed on a cross purchased you, and you are adopted when you surrender to Jesus, and he considers you his children, not a stepchild. You are his child. There's nowhere in Scripture you will find that you're a stepchild. You know, stepchildren sometimes think they're lesser than. I'm going to tell you right now, you are not lesser than if you've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. You are a child. You're a child of the King. And to those who believe in his name, he said in verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So I can't manufacture in you what believing is. I can't say enough, and I can tell you enough to believe, to believe, to believe. Yeah, well, okay, if you'll just quit talking about believing, I'll believe. But what does it take to truly believe? I want to jump over here in John chapter 29, or John 1 chapter 29. John 1, verse 29. Excuse me, I'll get there in a minute. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't come to just save you. He came to take away the sin. He came to take away and destroy. He came to eradicate sin, do away with it. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And listen to this right here in 32 through 34. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he was sent, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is how you make it through life and learn to be more than a conqueror through Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. But for too many in the evangelical Christian community, we leave him out. And you can't separate the Trinity. You can't separate the Godhead. They're three in one. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. Jesus told this to his disciples. He said, I'm going to send you a comforter when I ascend to heaven, and he will lead you and he will guide you in all truth.
When he is leading and guiding us in all truth, it don't matter what kind of storms come in our life, because there is a peace inside that can't be manufactured, because it comes from the throne room of God that settles and strengthens you, and a peace that passes all understanding. And in the middle of your chaos, there's peace because the Holy Spirit's with you. Don't leave him out. And when we don't truly believe and we just go through the rituals of religion, it's easy to just live a saved life. But I've got to ask you this. If we're just living a saved life and we're not being led and followed and directed by the Holy Spirit, if each step we take ain't being directed by the Holy Spirit, what are we believing in? I want to ask that question. I want you to really process in your mind, what am I truly believing in? If I'm going through these things and I'm not trusting God in the middle of it, what kind of hope do I truly have? What am I believing in? Some people put the situation they're going through, they make it bigger than God. That's what the Israelites done when they were listening to Goliath and them taunt the Israelites and laying over there and taunting them and telling them they were scared to death. And then here comes David down there, a little shepherd boy, cocks his head sideways and goes, who is this man that defiles the armies of God? Who is he? I'm telling you today, my friend, that your situation ain't bigger than your God. That God is bigger than, if you will just cast your care upon him, if we stay before him, if we learn in the situation that we've got to have God, God will not forsake you in your time of need. And I'm going to read verse 32 again. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I love the way one writer in the Gospels writes it, said, there's one coming mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to unloosen, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And David had a fire in him that made him cock his head sideways and go, I'll fight him. I'll take him out. And so they grab David and they load all this armor on David, and David looks at all this stuff they're putting on him, and hey, they're glad David did, because they're thinking in their mind, this idiot's going to die. This idiot is going to die. He looks like a clumsy kid, but he's willing to walk out there. At least it ain't us. We'll save our bacon. And David takes that armor off, and he says, I ain't proved none of this. He didn't need what this world knew to be his strength. He didn't need what the warriors of Israel was understanding was their strength and where it was coming from. He didn't need what they thought he needed. And he goes and he picks up 5 smooth stones and he prays and he hurls that rock into the stone of Goliath's head. And I'm telling you this, your trials are not bigger than your God. Mom, would you let me have some of that water? Okay, we'll try that again. Nothing you go through in this life, God sits by and says, okay, go deal with it.
What are you placing your confidence in?
Take him with you. It's what you learn to rely on. believing in the Greek word means to be persuaded.
Thanks, birthday.
It's to place your confidence. The word is most frequently written in the book of John. I want y'all to listen to this with me. Matthew uses the word believe 10 times. Mark uses the word 10 times. Luke uses the word 9 times. But in the book of John, you'll find the word believe 99 times. 99 times. It's easy for me to convince y'all this morning that the lights is on in here. Because we know what lights are. Yeah, the lights is on. And I'm going to tell you what we do. We take our light, our power, our electricity so much for granted that, but if I told y'all I'm going to turn the lights off, y'all don't even know where to turn them on because you don't know where the switches are. They're not on every wall around here, and there's more than one switch to turn off all of these lights, and I could turn the lights off in here, and y'all going to go into panic mode. Why? Because you're not going to just sit here in the dark. And when you turn the lights off in this room, it's dark. But we take the light for granted. John was sent to bear witness of the light. And I'm not talking about electricity light. I want you to know that if the power goes out, it's 10 o'clock at night and we're sitting on the couch and the storm's got you upset because, man, when the wind blows, and I'm going to just be honest with y'all, can I don't like tornadoes. I don't even like it to look like a tornado's coming. I don't like none. And then when the power goes out and you can't hear the news and you don't know what's coming, it's like, okay, let's go outside and watch. Because if I'm going to die, I want to see it coming. And the first thing we do when the light is gone, thank you so much, little buddy. You're amazing. You're amazing. When the lights go off, what's the first thing we do? Get on the phone. Power company, my lights is out. And we go in this panic mode, and we recognize that our light ain't on, and we take it for granted until it's gone. And the moment it's gone, it's somebody else's fault that the light ain't on and there ain't no light, and you better do something. I've paid my bill. How long is it going to be off? The power company gets so tired of hearing all the phone calls that you call the power company and the line's busy for 16 hours. Why? Because they're sick of hearing it. Why are you saying that, preacher? God gets sick of hearing us whine and cry to Him and not surrender to Him. Can I say that again? God can't direct you and lead you and guide you in what you will not surrender to Him. God cannot fix when you want to hold on to your problems. God cannot fix when your Goliath is bigger than your God. God cannot destroy your problems when your problems is bigger than your God. But when you make your God bigger than your problem, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, you're going to start seeing some light. Now there's some believing. Now there's some persuading. And when God answers your prayer, and when God does a miracle in your life, and the supernatural thing, because God operates in the supernatural. I don't care who you are, God operates in the supernatural. He don't sit over there and write your name in this little book and go, okay, you're done. Just go sit down and be quiet. No siree. He said, you are a city that is set on a hill. It is time for God's people to rise up, be the light, be the voice, and let people know that's out in this world that's dying and needs some hope that there is a Jesus that is alive because He's resurrected my life now. Come on. There comes a time in all our lives We need to make a decision.
Y'all bear
to truly
rely on Jesus.
I may cough my way halfway through this thing.
In John chapter 3, verse 16,
Jesus said, He is God's own beloved Son, and He brings everlasting life to whoever believes in Him. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. The woman at the well had no hope. They brought her. She had lived upside down in her life. And Jesus in verse 14 says, Whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What's he saying? There begins to be a voice inside us that encourages our friends and our family that, hey, God can get you through that. Be strong. Be courageous. Trust in God, surrender to God. And we come to a place that, man, I'm going to buy into that. They believe that. And when they see your belief and they start seeing the supernatural things that God's done in your life.
In John chapter 6, Jesus was the bread of life.
It's easy for them to turn and give God a try.
Because that's what God wants to do. God wants to move mountains in your life.
God wants to slay the Goliath in your life.
Backing up the proof in John 3:17 that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved.
But he left her with these words, go sin no more. God gives you the ability to stop living your life upside down. I want you to understand that. When we got this thing, we got this, it's like Christians in America, we got a license to sin now. We've got to stop that stinking thinking. God don't give you a license to sin. Romans chapter 6 says, shall we sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there in it? What's he saying? What is sin? Sin is doing wrong and knowing I'm doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That ain't just sin. That's rebellion. Let your kid tell you, you tell your kid, hey, it's time to be quiet. And your kid go, what, you mean now? Yeah, be quiet. What, like I can't talk anymore? Yeah, be quiet. You mean I can't say a word? Didn't I say be quiet? At what point do you stop it and turn around and go, no more, or bust that backside, right? But too many people don't think God can take care of my problem. So I keep complaining about them. I won't surrender them to him. God, I want you to take my problems, but I come and I pray, but I pick up my boxes and leave with them. I'm going to challenge you today, if you want a resurrection in your life, leave it behind. Can you just lay it down? Yeah, the thing, the situation, the finances, the marriage, whatever may still exist, but God is greater than that, and I believe. I've learned to rely on him. I've come to a place of trusting in him. That's what the woman at the well, she found out that they brought in the very act of adultery. They brought her, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Now go sin no more. In John chapter 9, he gave sight to a blind man. In John 11, he called Lazarus forth out of the dead. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the person of way. Jesus is the person of truth, and he is the person of life. It's more than just the way, truth, and life, words written on a page. He is Jesus, that he is the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He is the person of truth. He'll lead you and guide you in all truth. And when you hear that still voice say, trust me, that's what happened when he hung on the cross. That's what happened even with Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's peace in your storm, my friend. Supernatural peace that God has for every one of us. John chapter 17, the longest prayer ever recorded is John chapter 17. Jesus prays for himself and for all believers. John chapter 17, verse 20. I'm going to read that one to you. I don't pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their words. God is going to give you a testimony of conquering and overcoming, and you're going to be able to share that. And what happens? A passion starts thriving in your life because God has done something awesome for you. Are you experiencing that? If you're a believer in this room today and you're not experiencing the passionate life that Jesus has for you, I want to challenge you to spend more time in prayer and spend more time in his word and start watching what he's got for you. God's got way more for you than what we expect or what we ask or even think, the Bible teaches us. In John chapter 18, Jesus was arrested, denied by his own disciples, and denied by Peter that said, I'll never deny you. And Jesus told him, before the rooster crows, you'll have denied me three times. In John chapter 19, he was hung on a cross and placed in a barred tomb. And in John chapter 20, he rises from the dead and leaves us an empty tomb, bringing to us now life so that we can experience today, no matter what kind of Goliath we're facing in our life. He is your life now because of his resurrection. We can have his resurrection power in our own lives. John 11, 25 and 26. Listen to that rain. John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's Jesus. He's got something for you. And I want you to take it that personal. He's got something for you to believe in. He's got life. I don't know where you are, and he cares where you are, but Jesus is saying to you right now as an individual, I have life for you. Do you want it? And just like the woman caught in the act of adultery, he said to her, go sin no more. What we need to do is stop rebelling. What we need to do is surrender to God what we can't handle. What we need to do is drop it. What we need to do is put it in the tomb, because he don't resurrect things that try to destroy you. He resurrects you. Hello? He resurrects you. He has life for you now. I'm going to ask Jared and them to come up, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper here in a minute.
Verse 30.
And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of
his
disciples.
And I want to finish with the scripture,
which are not written in this book,
that I started with this morning,
that you may believe,
John chapter 20,
that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John is the only one of the four Gospels that declares Jesus as the Son of God. The Son of God. The Christ. And he says, and that believing, you may have life in his name. The life that God has for us is not the life that we're going to have when we enter into eternity. That's eternal life, amen? But there's life now. I don't know the storms you're going through. I don't know what's got you captured, what's got you backed into a corner, what's got you cowed down, what's got you depressed, oppressed, feeling like there's nothing for me. As the band begins to play, I'm going to ask you to stand with me.